we got that also. Keep that as one of the questions that relates to Kukai going as well. So what? Pardon? It's also, right, very similar to, there has to be very much a distinction between the non-Jewish world and the Jewish world and all these different things, right? We do live in, again, not living in Israel, and even, I mean, this, like, they're very much related to Israel also. If you go to Israel, again, obviously Hebrew, I mean, it's a little less, it's obviously a lot less apparent, but there are many things which seem to be on the surface going against what we're talking about here. The type, again, the dress that Jews there, observant Jews were there, but clearly in Chutzlar, in the outside of Israel, our manner doesn't seem on the surface to be very much different in terms of the surface from the non-Jews, and that seems to go against all these different things. So the question is, how does this drive? How do we understand this? And perhaps maybe we should be changed. Maybe we should change. Maybe we should all be using our Hebrew name. Maybe we have to invent some sort of Jewish dress. I mean, even the Hasidim, that might be a problem also. You know the history, right? Where does Hasidic dress come from? It comes from Polish nobility, right? This is not a specifically Jewish dress. That might have been a problem. The problem might have been raised at the time also. How could they do that? How could they take upon themselves the dress of non-Jews specifically? So maybe we should be looking to invent some sort of Jewish dress, and we have to really reinvent our lives based on what we're saying now. Now, obviously, we know the answer before. I don't think if you look at the most pious of people, that there might be some differences, but in terms of me or other people, but it's not a tremendous difference. And obviously, we're going to see now that how we can resolve what seems to go against the various things we've seen now. So first of all, we have to keep in mind what some of the Tosfot said, what the Maharik said, some way there were some of the Rishonim explained the idea of Kukar Atah. What were some of the explanations that we say, when does it become prohibited and that we shouldn't follow in the ways of the non-Jews? What are some of the reasons for that? If we recall, what were some of the things that they... Pardon? If we're mimicking them just to imitate them. Okay, so let's start with that. Let's take dress now, right? When we're dressing the way that we dress, which is, again, non-distinguished, non-Jewish, well, why are we doing that? Are we doing that to mimic the non-Jews?
No, let's say yes. Yes.
Okay, we have to... That would seem to, what you're saying seems to be saying is that we are, in a sense, and my brother's saying is that we are, in a sense, imitating
the
non-Jewish world.
You're just putting your coat off the rack, my suit off the rack, you're not.
What's the
way?
There's no question. It's a 50 suit. We wear a 50 suit.
Okay, so, yeah, what do you want to say?
He said you're allowed to get some benefit from it.
Okay, that's
the same way that you'll be putting dresses because he doesn't want to stand out, and that's considered a benefit. The same way we dress.
Right, very good. Yeah, that's the Maharik. The Maharik Kalon says that if we're doing it for our pleasure, even if it is similar.
Well, that's what Joe said. He said, I would perform the duties as an official and a representative of the people as a citizen of the United States. But my religious practices are something else that I would practice
because
I would be more comfortable amongst my own people.
Right, okay. Because just to relate to this, so we see here there is a little, we could sort of debate why we dress this way. Is it kind of imitating? Is it not? But Moshe Feinstein has a whole tshuva related to this, and he says emphatically that there's no problem in the way we dress. In fact, he raises the question of who says that the way we're dressing right now is the non-Jewish way. Maybe the Jews used to dress like, he says, yeah, I'll just read to you. The Gamaloza ain't shayachim sir malbushe nachris. The hakimak ob neisa lokshim malbushe nevi. Now, if you look, all Jews basically wear the types of clothing that we're all wearing right now. Who says that this is the non-Jewish dress?
Jewish design.
But yeah, exactly. We could say that these were originally Jewish types of dress, right? If you look in fashion history, maybe there's nothing specifically non-Jewish or for sure nothing idolatrous about the way that we dress. So Ramosha finds, again, it's a long tshuva, it goes into all kinds of, but he clearly says that, again, for different reasons that were mentioned here, that either we're doing it for our own pleasure, we're not doing it to imitate, and that when it comes down to it, this isn't non-Jewish, maybe it's Jewish dress. Who says this is just the way, whether you want to say this is the culture that we live in, the Jews are part of the culture, that's one way perhaps saying it, right? That we're not, that Jews have always played an important part of any culture. Maybe they had always an important part in the fashion. Who knows? But so clearly the dress that we wear, I don't know of anybody, really. I don't know of any post-sex now who says that Jews have to wear specifically what is pointed out in Ma'ariv going back hundreds of years. Does say, though, that a dress that's not tznius, that's something that is immodest, that's another reason why. That also falls within the Pukara Akim, and that we cannot do as well. But that's the difference. As long as things are more modern. Yeah.
Yeah. In certain circles, you know,
if
you're wearing brown pants, a blue shirt, and hat and tie, you know, and then you should wear a blue shirt.
Right.
You would wear a black jacket and
right.
a white shirt.
Right.
So, there are differences.
Right.
One is considered to be more modern, more
Pukara Akim. It's not, the remote, yeah. No, so that's actually the question I was asked for Moshe Feinstein. I'll read it to you. It says, "Bedavar malbushim shebe medina zu yesh chashash yisur malbushe nafim v'apaim lekan bipolim yirashim l'lovshan." Right? Those Jews who came from Poland, and he goes into, you know, who would wear the more conservative black, he mentioned it, the black types of clothes, and maybe a white shirt. So he says, again, it's not a Pukara Goyim issue, that's a more of a... an individual type of, or a community type of choice that we want to be more separate from the outside world. But it's difficult, what Ramosha here is saying, and then other folks can say, that's it, that's a choice. That's not halakhic, there's no problem halakhically of wearing Levi's or whatever the case you're wearing. That's not a halakhic problem. You make a choice to be a little different, to dress in a certain way, that's fine, it's wonderful. You want to do that, great, but it's not a halakhic issue. More related to what I was saying now, correct. I mean, and the caveat I said before, our dress has to be modest. So in the world that we live in, it's many people don't wear so modest dress. So when we do, it does sound, obviously, I think all of us here, you know, we can sense that that's an Orthodox person, et cetera, et cetera. Now, but again, what I'm relating to is the question of, but we can still go to Sears or Ethan's or wherever we're going to, we still go and buy off the rack there. We don't have to go buy specifically Jewish dress. It's an individual choice how we're going to dress, and that should be done within the parameters of dressing in a modest way. But you know, the dress itself, we don't have to, you know, we don't have to create a whole series of specifically Orthodox designers making only a Jewish line. That's what we're talking about here. Okay, so that's right. So that's an obviously major, and that's one of the reasons we're talking about it today and this time of the year. So this relates a little bit to what we talked about before. If the purpose of decorations or whatever we're doing is related to idolatry, it's related to let's say Christmas as a Christian holiday, it's a problem. It's a problem to do such things. You know, as a Jew. That would be, again, there already we're getting into, it's not necessarily the Pukara Akum, it's getting into what I said before, we're not going to address totally, which is, Christianity. But things that have, we made the distinction before between things that non-Jews do for idolatrous purpose, which is always a problem, right? And things that they do for just, they do it as a practice, you know, whether it's dress or other things like that. They're not doing it specifically idolatrous purpose, which would be okay, given the parameters we set before. So,
like calling in 27,
so I don't know. Maybe again, we're getting it. I'm not going to pass it on the what the point said is. I don't know. You know, you have to. But it's a probably a problem. I mean, things that you know specifically relate to the holiday of Christmas, and you know, it doesn't mean you can go to work if other people decorate. It doesn't mean you have to stay away from work. But for one to actively participate in specifically like you know celebrations, that is a specific. You know, if it's a specific Christmas, that's a problem. That would be, you know, again, we can talk later on specifics, but in general, you know, the parameters that we have to use, if it's related to something idolatrous, you know, something that's, you know, then that would be a problem. If it doesn't, then we have to just, then depending on how what we follow before, if we're imitating them, not imitating them, it's less of a problem. So, yeah. So there's a machlokah within Judaism. It's a major machlokah between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam, Maimonides, is very much against astrology, all these different things. He's a rationalist. He doesn't. The Ramban, Nachmanides, does feel that there is a place for that within Judaism. So without getting into all that, let's just put it, you know, people who are worshipping this. And what I meant to say, at least according to the Ramban, is there could be some symbolism, but I was told what we were talking about in that reference was worshiping the sun and the stars and those types of things. Okay, so, yeah.
Two questions. One is,
that's a whole huge issue. I can talk about this a little bit afterwards. Again, that really relates to you know, whether it means things within the Torah, things within the Torah can't change, but prohibitions and edicts, takanot, those can change. That's a huge issue, which is very difficult. In some situations, they can give you a very, again, it's really, I can't discuss in like 2 minutes, but you know, there are various parameters and categories of certain edicts and takanot, which the Rabbanan did thousands of years ago, many of them can never change. You know, if you do know the draft, but you don't know the reason for them, then it's a big question. And that really, this type of thing would really fit into that. But if you want, I can discuss it a little bit more. In terms of the question of the Hanukkah present, it's a question. I mean, I don't know of anybody who answers it. The question is, are we really, again, you can maybe give the same answer that Rav Moshe finds to give here. I don't know the history. I mean, is it that, you know, are we specifically copying the non-Jews? I don't know. I mean, and also the question is, if there is, going back to what we said before, if we have a certain, again, if we're not copying them and if we're doing this for our own purposes, then clearly it's not a problem. You know, if we are imitating them, then the question again is, is this an idol? The giving of presents on holidays, is that Christmas? Is that specifically a idolatrous practice?
Well,
I don't
know.
The decoration.
Yeah, the decorations. It's not idolatrous per se. It's just.
Right.
It's
giving credence
to the holiday.
The
first,
right. Reasons given for doing business with non-Jews idolaters at their time of year, because when they observe, they're not observing it as a religious holiday, they observe it as a secular holiday, which I think has a lot of impact on the way Christmas is observed nowadays.
Right, so I mean, that really relates to this whole issue, right? That's why I said, if it's specifically related, like, the Christian holiday of, you know, then it's a problem. If it's more of a season greeting type, then it might be, you know, you have to look at each and every incident really.
Gifts come up, shove a kesef, maybe it's Hanukkah gel to make it easier. The husband gives his wife, and says, here, honey, here's $100 or $200, buy something. He buys her a nice gift, and she buys him a gift. So that would be an extension out from the gel.
So this is also, it relates a little bit to what we talked about before. You know, how do you define these decorations? If to sell them, I mean, I think there are some shubas in medieval times, if I'm not mistaken, even about selling some of Avodah Zarah, which they, for some Rishonim, if I'm not mistaken, would permit, would allow that. If it's for Parnassa, they would allow that, even if they were used for Avodah Zarah. So based on that, you know, that would be that wouldn't be such a problem. And then, but the general issue, of course, is how do we define these decorations, etc. You know, is it specifically religious? If it's a non-religious, more of a holiday type of thing? Yeah, these are, we have to look at each and every one of them. And, you know, as society changes, and as consumers, you know, is it more of a consumerism type of issue? We have to reevaluate these things at all times. Okay, so I just want to touch upon a couple of questions. How much more time do we
have? Since we don't have another speaker, as long as the people will stay.
I just want to think there are a lot
that's
of
the advantage of going glasses. One advantage is
the light of candles,
you know.
Okay, so you mentioned, for example, the kippah. All right, the first of all, what's the origin of yarmulke, which is the
Yarmulke,
exactly. That would show that we are yared, we are fearful of the malka, fearful of the king. Right, so if that's the case, the question rose, and this is dealt with in contemporary times, why do non-Jews not wear a kippah? Why do they not wear a head covering? Because it used to be the custom, going back a few hundred years, that they used to wear head coverings, and then they stopped. So the question, in religious areas, they still do.
And for them, when they go into a church, their sign of respect is removing
right.
the head covering,
right.
and ours is putting it on.
So the question is, if we... Let's say, I'll give you the specific example, the question that has been asked the poskim over the last 100 years, which is probably for many people who work in the non-Jewish world is a major question, when they start work, is do you wear a kippah at work? And if I don't wear a kippah at work, is that a problem of hukara? Right? Is the reason the non-Jews don't wear a kippah, are they doing it as a sort of a religious type of statement, where we're not wearing a head covering? And if that's the case, then perhaps I wouldn't be allowed not to wear a kippah. I have to wear a kippah. Right, so that's the question. So this was raised, this was asked a number of different Aharonim, different contemporary custom over the last 100 years, and I think without fail, as far as I know, they all say that it's not a problem. That the reason that the non-Jews don't wear a kippah, don't wear a head covering, nothing to do with chukah going. That's just their comfort, that they feel that they don't want to. And therefore, if a Jew decides that I don't want to wear a kippah because I want to fit in more. Again, some of the reasons we said before in terms of it's for my tawelet, for my pleasure, and that my parnassa. Again, parnassa is always an extra reason for being makel in these different areas. So the poskim all say that the Moshe, it's even the Mishnah Berurah at the beginning of Siman Beit in Orach Chaim. He also says that if the Jew has to go to the government. And he has to go to a state official, and if he would feel uncomfortable with the kippah, then he can also take it off. So when relating to kippah, it work. Basically, all of the Aharonim come down on the side that, again, to fit in and for parnassa purposes, it's not a problem of kukara akum to not wear a kippah when one goes to work. Yes.
From what I heard,
That's what I mentioned before. Tosfos says that by the Matseva. That the Matseva, which is used, the type of altar which is used by Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, which is the right type of sacrifice, the sacrificial altar, that became forbidden once the non-Jews started to use that. So the question, again, it relates to what we were discussing before. If the reason that they were doing it is that for idolatrous purposes, then perhaps you might be right. That if they all, as part of their worship, were kippahs, perhaps. Based on that possibility, based on some of the other things.
At least the bigger problem.
Yeah.
Bigger problem is that
I'm not saying for sure.
If there's any society that wants to eliminate the Jews and Judaism, all they have to do is take up practices that the Jews uphold. And therefore, in an adulterous manner, and therefore, anything that we do, we would have to discontinue to do.
Again, you have to look the same way this is raised today also, that's one of the reasons why Jews could fight on Shabbos, right? The whole question of the Hashmarim and the Makkim we discussed this morning, that if people saw that we could destroy the Jews, that they won't fight on Shabbos, obviously you can fight for different reasons for not to fight on Shabbos, but it wouldn't be so simple. In other words, you'd have to look at case by case and look at the reasons behind it, and I don't know if that's our biggest problem. Okay, so we're obviously for Pikuach Nefesh to defend their lives, we can allow the fight. All right, I just want to maybe touch on one or two more things, and then if you have any questions individually, we can discuss them. So what about names, right? I think now, in this past generation, it is much more prevalent for us to call our children by Hebrew names, right? But in going back 20, 30 years, I think it was very, very rare, I think, for most Jews and Orthodox Jews living in society to give Jewish names. So the question is that okay? So first of all, we see even by Yosef, right? What does Yosef call his son? He doesn't give, Yosef is called that Sofna Paneas, he's given the Egyptian name then. And we know, as the Medrash we just quoted, that the Jews did keep the name, right? So first of all, in terms of that whole Medrash, and how we understand that Medrash, that they were very makbid to have their own names, their language, their Malbush, so the Meshech Chachma gives a very important explanation of that. Even though on the one hand that they were, they ascend to that deep level of Tuma, that they were very not connected, the Meshech Chachma explains that these three things are not the most important things, obviously, in Judaism. That our name, it's much more important, obviously, the kosher, the belief in God, and these types of things are clearly more important. But the Meshech Chachma explains that these were the last three things that they could connect to. Now, without these three things, they would have totally been wiped out, really, as a Jewish people. They would have had no connection. And sometimes the siyagim, that's what he calls it. This is a siyag. This is a boundary, a fence, to keep the other parts of the Torah. Sometimes the siyag can become more important than the actual Torah. These are the three things that without them, Meshach says, Jews would have totally disappeared. So that's why he says these three things were extremely crucial. Not that they are the most important things on earth, but give me a half second. So in terms of our names, so there is a machloket actually. There's a machloket achronim. There are some achronim like the Maram Shik from Hungary, who felt because the Gemara, which the Gemara said, he gives a story once that a Jew came to a certain king, and the king sort of made fun. He asked him, why is it that all you Jews have non-Jewish names? He didn't. Why are you like all of us? And so the Maram Shik brings a proof from this that you see that this was an embarrassment that Jews should have Jewish names. The Maar Shtam and many other Achronim say that there's no problem with having a quote-unquote non-Jewish name. They bring proofs also. The Gemara, for example, in Gittin, if you look at Gittin, gives all the different names of the Adi, the different witnesses that we used to sign the Gittin. So we're talking about Jews, obviously. And if you look there, they all have non-Jewish names. So you see already in the time of the Gemara that the Jews have non-Jewish names. We also know the famous story about Alexander. Right, Alexander the Great, that after he died, the Jews all gave their, as a sign of homage to him, would name their children after him. But clearly it seems, again, there are Afarim, Marav Shik, and some others who say that there is a problem, but most Afarim say that it isn't a problem to give, to use one's quote-unquote non-Jewish name. There are a few other, again, there's tons of other stuff I'll just really mention briefly now. There's even a question of can you... This relates a little bit to what you were talking about putting on a kippah at a church, etc. Are you allowed to decorate a shul for Shavuot?
No, of course.
So some people say no, because they, in the churches, they would decorate on their holidays, they would decorate with flowers and other things. And therefore, by us doing that on Shavuot, it's really going in Kukar Akim, and therefore we shouldn't do it. So there are some people who are very conscious of this, and won't allow decorations, even on Shavuot, of flowers in the shul.
So does that mean they don't have a sukkah that's decorated as well?
No, a sukkah is its own thing. We're talking, no, because the shul would be similar to the church, the place of worship. That
right.
If the Christian place of worship decorates in a certain way, then we shouldn't decorate.
But if
in
they
adopt
using a sukkah at Thanksgiving, we have a problem.
Then we're in trouble.
Okay, I don't think it would be such a problem. You mentioned Thanksgiving. Yeah, you want? Okay, okay.
Except the cooking,
you
would
have called his
mother
when
he gave
them,
when he told them to his
mother,
that
he would have called them by their Hebrew name. By their Hebrew name? Yeah. What he did? Well, the name Kung Fu. Once he knew, once he spoke to them, he told them to tell us how we called them, but we would assume he called them by their regular name. Then there's the question of Thanksgiving and other holidays like that. Are we allowed to, in Canada, Thanksgiving is not as big of an issue. But in the States, it's a major issue, right? Many Jews, observant Jews, turkey, cranberry sauce, the whole shebang. So this is a major question. So there are basically three different sheets on Thanksgiving. So there are those who are machmir, who are stringent and say, no, you cannot celebrate Thanksgiving, can't eat turkey. And really, it's like funny, you read the Chubas, you know, can you have turkey with cranberry sauce, or without cranberry, and they go into the... Because the question is, are these rituals? You know? Is it a ritual for non-Jews to have turkey with cranberry sauce? And if it's really a ritual, so some people say that this would be a problem of following the non-Jewish ways. Then you have Rav Moshe, who gives the advice that it's basically okay, but you shouldn't necessarily do it every year. You shouldn't really, you shouldn't make it into a ritual. Maybe this is the way some other people, based on Rav Moshe, say that, you know, maybe take 1 or 2 years off to show that you're not doing this as a ritual specifically like non-Jews. And then there are people who say it's not a problem. The whole idea of Thanksgiving is not against some idolatrous type of thing. And that, they say, Rav Soloveitchik, they say, would take an earlier flight. He would go back to Boston. He would have a shiur earlier in the morning. He would go back in order to celebrate Thanksgiving with his family. So,
what about cheesecake with
the board? What's the problem? Why? Yeah. I don't think there's any problem with that. That's not a non-Jewish thing. Cheesecake is just... So again, there are a lot of other issues. Just a half a second type of summary that we can give. So we saw already that the Gemara in two different places relates to it. We see there are basically three different opinions among the medieval commentators of how we relate to Chuppah Akum. If it relates to our idolatrous practice, then it would be forbidden. Even for us, it says that it's okay. If it's not done for idolatrous purposes, then the question is, are we doing it to imitate non-Jews? Some people say if we do it to imitate them, then it's also forbidden. But if we're doing it for our own, even if it's done by non-Jews, if we copy them, but if we're doing it for our own, it's either not idolatrous, or we're doing it for our own pleasure, then it would be okay to do that. And again, there are a lot of different issues that it comes up to. Doesn't mean, of course, that even if you do have to be careful about not getting too involved with the non-Jewish world, not letting the negative effects get involved with us. This is Nishir on Torah Mada, so we won't go into all that. And hopefully on Chanukah, the best, I didn't get to the last source here, which is the best type of using Chuppah Goyim, which is I'll just very briefly mention it. If you look on the last page, the bottom thing, the Gemara talks about a specific pagan holiday which they used to have for 8 days during this time of the year. And without getting to the whole Bar Torah, it's a beautiful understanding, I think, of it. But basically, it seems that Hanukkah, what we've done on Hanukkah, is taken a pagan holiday. God knows if you have a reason for doing it. It's the miracle of it. Hanukkah. But there used to be a pagan holiday, which was a kind of light, because it was the darkest time of the year. The winter solstice was just 2 days ago. Hanukkah always occurs around this time of the year, the most darkest day. The pagans would use light for a type of pagan holiday. But we should always be on the... Our cognizance of doing is taking other practices and uplifting them, with giving them kedusha, giving thanks in the same way that we do Hanukkah. We shall have a Hanukkah full of practice.
Okay, yes, Victoria, thank you. Okay. I'll make you all back next time we do it. I don't know when yet, but. We'll do it again.
I'd like to do something to start to keep us. They're doing a Jewish prayer, but if they happen to decide that that's what the Yoshka wants, is a different prayer.
Correct.
Yeah, the question I raised about the end of the book. Do you want to do all just now saying?